the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Irish author Colm Tobin received the good news recently that his newly released book had been selected by Oprah Winfrey as her latest book club pick. To discuss what this is likely to mean to him, along with other changes in the publishing industry, I'm joined by arts and culture journalist and author of Social Capital, Aoife Barry, and London-based, County Down-born author Claire McGowan, whose latest book, Truth, Truth, Lie, went on sale this week on a digital publisher owned by Amazon. Before we chat, though, here's a clip from the CBS Morning Television show featuring Colm Tobin and Oprah Winfrey.
So, Oprah, drum roll, please. What did you select?
Okay, I selected Long Island by Colm Tobin, who is here today.
Congratulations, Mr. Tobin.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So could you take us to the day you get that call? You get the call, and she says what to you?
She says, this is Oprah Winfrey.
And you...
And whatever way she said it, I knew that was true.
Yes.
It wasn't an impersonator.
And how did you know?
Because of her tone. Whatever way she said it, it could only have been one person. Mm. Uh-huh. It could not have been anyone copying her. But I don't remember what I said then.
Uh-huh. Oh, what do you remember,
you said,
Oprah?
You paused, and you said, are you calling to ask me about the eclipse?
That's what he said.
Yes, because that had just happened.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask me about something. The eclipse.
I went,
no, I'm not. I'm calling to talk about your book, Long Island, okay?
That's so funny.
Well, as you can hear there, Colm Tobin clearly delighted to have received that phone call from Oprah. Aoife, although he's already a hugely successful author, this has to be good for sales for his book.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, if you look back over the list of books that Oprah picked for her book club over, you know, about 25 years or so, you will see massive bumps in terms of the sales for different authors. I mean, it could be really well-known authors like Cormac McCarthy, less well-known authors like James Frey, who ended up being quite a controversial author in the end, and she had to take him onto the show and bring him to account for some of the things he actually wrote in his book, A Million Little Pieces. But she does have such massive cultural impact on people. Now, I would say it's kind of lessened a little bit over the last maybe 10 years or so, but it's still really big, particularly for an Irish author to be chosen by Oprah and somebody of Colm Tobin's stature as well. It certainly won't do him any harm.
And from a British perspective, Richard and Judy on television, they had formed a book club that became a huge thing. But more recently, Reese Witherspoon is sort of the new kid on the block in this area.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Reese Witherspoon, people will know her as an actor, but in recent years, she's also become a producer. And she had a really interesting interview with the New York Times where she spoke about the background to her becoming involved in her own book club, which was initially was through or involved Hello Sunshine, the company that she owned, that she actually sold in the last couple of years. But she really felt that she was trying to find stories about women and, you know, mostly written by women as well. And she's using social media as a way of bringing books that she's very passionate about and, you know, sharing them with people, interviewing the authors, and then she's turned some of those books into films or into series, you know, and she'd be responsible for things like When the Crawdads Sing becoming really, really popular, the Delia Owens book. So Reese Witherspoon is a really great example of a person who knows her audience. She knows it's mostly women who are following her, and she also knows they want to read women's stories. And so she brings them kind of literary but commercial books that she knows will appeal to them. So she's kind of the new Oprah when it comes to all of this.
Aoife, is it possible to get a handle on what a Reese Witherspoon recommendation means for sales?
We don't always know exactly what the impact is, but if you look at Where the Crawdads Sing, which people will remember was actually made into a movie as well, produced by Reese Witherspoon, the very first print run of that book was 27,500 copies, which is actually, you know, pretty significant in itself, but this is America, of course. But it ended up being at the top of the New York Times bestselling list, and it sold at least 2 million print copies of that book, I think, at the last count, which is huge.
The other huge trend that's happening is in relation to publishers, traditional publishers, even investing in online imprints, Aoife. This is a whole sort of parallel part of the books industry now, and it's growing hugely, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting element of publishing, because you have the traditional, like you're suggesting there, publishing, where people will be used to authors, you know, seeing their books in the shops, getting to pick up the physical copy. But there's readers who are really, really into reading authors' books on ebooks in particular. And this digital industry involves publishers like, we'll say, Bookature, which is owned by Hachette, which is one of the big traditional publishers. But Bookature publishes digital first. So it's kind of print on demand. What it means is that the authors get to write about two books a year, and they can reach their audiences quite quickly that way. But they can also get translation rights for their books in a, in, I suppose, a, an easier fashion, perhaps, than traditional publishing in some ways. I was speaking to an author, Trina Walsh, who actually publishes through Book Ashore. And for example, her book, The Snowstorm, became a bestseller in Germany, which is really fantastic for an Irish writer. She's gone into the bookshops in Italy and seen her book there too. And for her, she gets so many benefits from publishing through Book Ashore, and she can reach a much wider audience, she feels, than perhaps you can with traditional publishing. So for her, it's a great model. And it's definitely one I think that other publishers will be keeping an eye on, because you can have quite a bit of success, and authors can actually make a bit more money as well, often through digital first publishing. Initially, they won't get, with a model like Book Ashore, they won't get an advance, but they will actually get more money perhaps overall, because their sales would be bigger and they get a bigger chunk of the pie when it comes to digital publishing.
Claire, you've been writing successfully for a number of years, and you would have started out with traditional physical book form, and then you decided to switch over to digital. How did that come about?
So I think when I started out wanting to be a writer, I just assumed, like everyone, it will be print books. You'll be able to go into a bookshop and see your books there, not realizing at the time that only a fraction of books that get published are actually stocked in shops. And it's even gone down quite a bit since then. And I did have ebooks at that point, but they were priced so high. It was at the time when the big publishers were refusing to discount for ebooks. They just felt on principle that they shouldn't do it. So sometimes ebooks would be like £12, which just doesn't work. People are used to paying probably a maximum of £5 now for an ebook. So my sales weren't going all that well, and I was looking to make a change. And I had this offer from Amazon, so just thought I would give it a go, and it's actually ended up suiting me quite well.
And if you were to look at books that you have sold, whether in physical form or now in online digital form, I mean, how many books have you sold, roughly?
I don't have all the stats from my other non-Amazon books, but we think it's probably getting close to 2 million now.
And how have you made the adjustment, Claire, to the imprint, to the digital only, the online? I mean, a lot of it is around kind of helping with your own marketing, isn't it, really?
So it hasn't been a huge difference in terms of process. You know, I do actually get an advance. I do have professional editing. They do the cover and all of that, everything that you would expect from a traditional publisher. It's slightly faster, so I'm doing one every 9 months at the minute, but that can change.
And one of the things has to do with marketing. And while I suppose many of us will be familiar by now with the video sharing platform TikTok, we might not have come across BookTok, which is a sub-community on the app focused on books and literature. Or, for example, Booksagram, which, as the name suggests, can be found on Instagram. Just here's a flavour of what they're about.
Here are the most exciting upcoming new book releases that I am still waiting on. We have been gifted with so many phenomenal new releases so far in 2024. We have new Emily Henry, Abby Jimenez, Sarah Adams.
Guys, this is the spiciest book I've ever read. There aren't enough pepper emojis to convey how much spice is in this book. Every chapter, spice. The book is called Dune by Frank Herbert.
Hello, BookTok. It is Betsy back with another book review. So the one I just finished is a new author for me. The book I read was What You Did by Claire McGowan, and it was very good.
Okay, let's do it. Five books I don't think deserve the hype, five books that do, and five books I think deserve more hype.
Here are my top fast-paced, unputdownable, and binge-worthy thriller books. If any of these take you longer than 2 days to read, come back to me and get your money back.
So I've read 99 books so far this year. I'm literally on my 100th book.
If you only read three thriller books this year, it has to be these three.
Claire, you've even been name-checked on one of those clips there. But so how have you found working with BookTok and sort of embracing the TikTok phenomenon, doing your own videos?
So it's relatively new to me. I've only joined it really quite recently. At first, it's very overwhelming, because if you're used to Instagram, TikTok just goes so much faster. The clips are really short. Everyone's competing for attention. So I kind of dipped my toe in a bit, and then I retreated, and then I've actually been asked by my publisher if I will go back on it again, and they've actually hired an agency to help me with my social media feed. So I'm having to learn. I think it's really good in terms of the actual video editing is really good and very intuitive, but it's a bit of a learning curve if you didn't, you know, because I'm in my 40s, so I did have the internet, but not until I was 18 or so. So I'm actually filming this right now so I can use it silently, a video of me kind of talking, which is a little bit of like, you know, a day in a lifestyle videos. And it's quite astonishing. Some authors have, you know, thousands and thousands of followers on there. And it can really, really drive sales. Like it's driving sales to the point now where publishers are throwing everything they can towards it.
Aoife, we talked a bit about Richard and Judy and Oprah and that kind of plugging. And then you have this parallel development of the industry. But there are overlaps. So, for example, BookTok and its recommendations are now starting to appear in bookshops.
Oh, absolutely. If you go into a lot of bookshops, for example, Chapters Bookshop here in Dublin on Parnell Street, you'll see a specific BookTok section. And I actually did a piece recently for the Sunday Times about a new genre called Romantasy, which is a fusion of romance and fantasy. And that's a big BookTok genre. And I went in to chat to them and they told me that their BookTok section was really small when they first started. And now it's a huge, big section with big shelves at the very start or the opening of the shop. And you can pop in there and you can see that the range of books that are recommended by people on BookTok are so wild. A lot of them are so wide even. A lot of them are things like Romantasy, or you might have Colleen Hoover, who became a massive success after self-publishing and then you know, being picked up through BookTok. But then you have things like Feminist Theory by Bell Hooks that people are recommending. So it's quite a wide range of things that people talk about in BookTok. And it's actually very driven by younger readers, particularly, you know, post-COVID, where people are connecting through reading and connecting through having physical objects, and even, you know, talking about going to the library and taking out books in the library. So it's a really nice thing to see younger millennials and Gen Z in particular using social media as a way of connecting over reading.
And Aoife, where does it sit in relation to age? So for example, you think about TikTok or BookTok, you think about a younger generation, but then at the same time, digital publishing like this is opening up the possibility for more people, maybe more women, for example, in their 40s or 50s, to become writers and have a successful financial career out of it.
I think when people think of traditional industry, they can think of having to find someone who has an existing following or is a certain kind of, you know, a media savvy person who can push their book out there and publish it. And that can sometimes maybe narrow down the idea of who actually gets to have their book published. But if you're looking at something where you're talking about digital publishing and you're talking about trying to build a readership around the books, it does seem, looking at the people who are getting signed up and working with these companies, that it is making it a broader ground for people to work from. And it is helping in people who might ordinarily find it difficult to find an agent, maybe, or they don't want an agent, and through that they can't get published traditionally. It's giving them a space now to get published.
Claire, when it comes to making some money from writing and from selling books, do the online, the digital publishers pay roughly the same kind of percentage of royalties as they would, you know, traditional publishers and a physical book?
I believe it's very quite different depending on the publisher. As you mentioned before, some of them don't pay advances, for example. Some of them might have a situation where you have multiple books in a deal and you don't start to get any royalties until all of those books have earned out, which is the term that they use. So for me, I get an advance and then I also get monthly royalties paid, which is really unusual. And obviously, that's great for authors who are trying to do this as a living, that you don't have to wait 6 months or more
The mortgage or rent payments and all those sort of trivial things that get in the way of writing.
Yeah.
I presume you don't necessarily need to do book signings and book festivals and things like that in order to be successful in the online world. You've no interest in switching back to that, have you?
Well, to be honest, it would be nice to see my books in shops. I still do think that. But I think a lot of the things that authors really like having events, getting posters, maybe even print reviews and things like that, they don't necessarily drive sales. So sometimes it's just about kind of making the author feel good rather than what is a good business case. And I think up until now, I don't think publishers have been that good at assessing the actual business impact of some of their activities. So I hope that that will change and that marketing will actually be properly analysed.
It's certainly a brave new world in books. Arts and culture journalist Aoife Barry and author Claire McGowan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.
Thank you.